a time some years ago when we were going around the gospel services and the meetings that sometimes young people would come and ask you just to sign their Bible and to put your signature on it and write a wee verse of scripture. And I always wrote that verse, Philippians 1 and 21. That was Paul's testimony. He said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now, some months ago, I was giving my testimony down in Portadown, where I started off as a student minister, and I was speaking at a Saturday night rally there in Portadown, and they advertised it like this: "Nothing sensational and nothing sinister. How God called him and made him a minister." So that man should have been Poet Laureate. And he put in the Fred Greenfield story: "Nothing sensational, nothing sinister. How God saved him and made him a minister." And that's the truth. That's the testimony. And every one of us who are saved by God's grace, well, we could write that over our lives, that by the grace of God, God saved us and made us a child of God. Now, I was born in 1900, nobody's business, aren't I? 1948, to be exact. I was born into this world. And I thank God that I was born into a Christian home. And that's a great privilege for a child to be born into a Christian home. I was born into what I might describe as a brand new Christian home, because I was born in the month of December, on the 29th of December, if you want to remember, send me a card, and the 29th of December, but on the month of September that year, 1948, my father came to know Christ, and then in the month of October, my mother was saved. So there was a brand new Christian home and a brand new little baby, ever so cute, born into that home. So cute, in fact, that my mother bought a beautiful big, to tell me, I can't remember, but to tell me it was a big, big fancy pram. And you know, we lived in a wee house in Belfast, and they bought this beautiful big pram. They're so delighted to get this child. And they bought this big pram, and the trouble was they couldn't get it in the house. They could get it in the hall, but they couldn't get it turned round. And the Reverend Dr. John Gervin, who was the moderator of the Irish Presbyterian Church, way back in those days, John Gervin was a city missionary on the Donegal Road in Belfast. And that's where my mother and father came to know Christ as their Savior, in the little city mission hall on what we call the Library Hill on the Donegal Road. And Mr. Gervin, he came with his toolkit and his saw, and he moved the stairs so that they could get me into the house. Well, not good. And I used to joke with Dr. Paisley, because I said I was the only other Free Presbyterian minister in Mr. Gervin's autobiography. Dr. Paisley, of course, was mentioned as the moderator of the Free Presbyterian Church. I was mentioned for giving the man a whole lot of work and having to move the stairs for my mother to get the pram in. But he was still very friendly with my mother and father right until their deaths. And any time Mr. Gervin was visiting in the Royal or the City, he would have called into my mother and father to see them and get a wee cup of tea, as they say in Belfast, a wee cup in your hand. And that was so. So I was born into a Christian home. My parents attended the Belfast City Mission on a Sunday evening. My father was a Sunday school teacher in the City Mission. He also was a member of what was called the Male Voice Testimony Band that they had. And went around the country, the Bethel Male Voice Singers and Testimony Band. They had an old van, big Bible text up the side of it. And many a time I remember as a wee boy going to all these meetings all around the province. But technically they belonged to Donegal Road Methodist Church, And I was brought up in Donegal Road Methodist Church, attended the City Mission. I had to go to the Sunday school in the Methodist, and then I had to go to the Sunday school in the City Mission. Used to say to my mother, everybody else only goes to one Sunday school. I have to go to two. Why's that? She says, in case you don't take it in the first time. You go and you be good and you listen and you do your best. And as well as that, I remember going to meetings in Broadway Gospel Hall, a little gospel hall near the motorway there in Belfast. And it's a great privilege to be born into a Christian home, because when I look back on my life, I cannot remember a time that I didn't know that I needed to be saved. And I knew that if I was to be saved, it wasn't good enough that my parents were saved, but that I would have to come personally as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Now Paul said, for to me to live is Christ. And when Paul was writing those words to the church in Philippi, he could think back of the great times of blessing that he had, even in the midst of persecution in the jailhouse in Philippi, and souls were saved, and people in that town were saved, and then a church was born, and now he writes to that church, and he is thinking about the time in his life when he served Christ, when he gave his all to the Savior. But it wasn't always like that for Paul, because brought up a Hebrew of the Hebrews and of the strictest sect of his religion, a Pharisee, a man who sat at the feet of Gamaliel, a man who persecuted the church of Christ, a man who was a blasphemer and a persecutor. And I think that always hurt Paul, since he was saved, that he had actually persecuted God's church. But from that moment, he served the Lord Jesus. I didn't always serve the Lord Jesus. I was born into a Christian home, but I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. I was saved at an early age, but yet I was a sinner who needed to be saved. I knew I needed to be saved. I remember a friend of mine in the Boys Brigade Company to which I belonged, the 38th BB in the Donegal Road, a dear young man there, he got saved. And the boys in the company, we used to call him the Vicar. That was a nickname we gave to him, because from the day he got saved, he was very faithful, witnessing to us and talking about the Lord. I remember him taking me to a meeting to hear Pastor Willie Mullen. Willie Mullen was preaching on the second coming of Christ, and he was talking about people being taken and people being left behind. And I remember when I came home from that meeting that night, and I talked to my friend Alan the whole way home about these things, I went up to my bedroom, I got my Bible out, and I read through the whole book of Revelation, trying to find out more about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, I remember in the middle of the night waking up and going and having a wee look into my parents' bedroom, because I was thinking, what would happen if the Lord came back and they would be taken and I would be left? And that message really spoke to me, but I didn't get saved at that time. And I had started to learn to play the piano accordion. I loved music. And then later on, I saved up and I bought a guitar. And I used to watch children's television and watch a man called Bert Wheaton, who gave you one chord every week. So by the end of 6 months, you were able to play a song. And I used to watch this fella and write down in my wee notebook all the chords. And I loved music. And I loved pop music. And the trouble was, in those days, if you wanted to hear who was on the top 20 or in the top 10 or who was number one, you had to listen to Radio Luxembourg. I know that'll mean nothing to some of the young people here tonight, but older folk will maybe remember Radio Luxembourg. And the trouble was, the top 10 was on a Sunday. So when I came home from the Sunday school, I was very exercised to get a wee bit of fresh air. And I would take a wee transistor radio and I would go for a walk over what we called the Bog Meadows there in Belfast, so that I could hear who was number one in the hit parade, because I just ate, slept and drank all the pop music of the day. Was never much of a scholar at school. Never really liked school that much. I loved the day I left. I think the teachers loved the day I left as well. And some man said one time, my cousin and I sat in school together, the Reverend Norman Fox. And the teacher says to Norman one day, he says, what's your name, boy? And Norman says, Norman Fox. The teacher says, in this school we say, sir, what is your name? He says, sir, Norman Fox. You know, so we just didn't get on too well at school. But I left school and started to work and serving my time in a factory in Belfast. And as I said, I have heard the gospel from a child, taken along to missions and meetings and sent to Sunday school and the boys' brigade and the Bible class and all these things, but still wasn't saved. When I started to work in a factory in Belfast, I met some people who were known by the religious designation as Free Presbyterian. The dear brother, the late Joe Chapman, who was an elder in Dunmurry Free Presbyterian Church, Joe worked in that factory. Brother Billy Weir, one of the children's workers, an elder in the Martyrs, worked in that factory. My cousin Jim Fox, whose brother became the Reverend Norman Fox, Jim worked in that factory. And there was a gospel meeting in that factory on a Friday, and the believers in that factory had a prayer meeting on a Tuesday. And here I was hearing the gospel again from these dear saints of God. And Jim was keeping asking me, you know, to go and hear Dr. Paisley some Sunday night. Jim went along to Old Ravenhill Free Presbyterian Church, as it was then. And I kept putting him off because I said I loved the music. And another cousin of mine and his sister used to sing different places and talent competitions and things and play and sang. We just loved that and couldn't wait to get out to do that. But I said one day to Jim and work, okay, I'll go with you this Sunday night to hear Ian Paisley. So I went over, and that was on the 21st of February, 1965. And I went over with Jim and another cousin of mine, Billy Halliday. Billy went with us. We went to the Old Ravenhill Free Presbyterian Church. It was packed to capacity. People were sitting up round the steps, round the pulpit. We got seats way up in the wee gallery in the Old Ravenhill Church. And when Mr. Paisley got into the pulpit and he began to preach, although I knew the gospel from I was just a little child, something, as it were, came over me, and I thought to myself, you know, if you're going to preach the gospel, that's the way it should be preached. Because here's a man who believes in this book. Here's a man who's got convictions about this book, that this book, the Bible, is the Word of God, and the gospel is the gospel that saves men and women from their sins. And I listened, and he quoted a verse of Scripture from the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 6 and in verse 3. The Bible says, my spirit, God said, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And you know, that verse really came home to me. My spirit shall not always strive with man. And I began to think, as I sat up there in the gallery, what would happen to me if God's spirit should just stop striving with me? And you needed to be saved. I've been taught the way of salvation, as we would say. I knew it backwards. I knew all the verses, but I wasn't a Christian. And this verse really hit me, and I thought, what would happen if God should stop speaking to me tonight? I knew the answer. I would be lost. I would die without Christ. I would go into a lost, Christless eternity. And I thought about it. And then I don't know what came over me, and whether I tried to distract myself from what I was hearing, but I put my hand into my pocket and I pulled out a Boys' Brigade membership card. And if you ask someone about the BB and you say, what's the motto of the BB? They'll tell you, sure and steadfast. That's true. But you know, on the wee Boys' Brigade membership card that I had in those days, it said these words, for the advancement of Christ's kingdom amongst boys. And there was a scripture verse Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I was reading that verse of scripture. And then Dr. Paisley preached again, and he mentioned Genesis 6 and 3. The Lord says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. I was reading it, seek first the kingdom of God. I was hearing it, my spirit shall not always strive. And I felt, this is the time, this is the moment, this is the hour for me to be saved. Now, Dr. Paisley made an appeal, and I put my hand up in the appeal. And then I asked the people who put their hand up if they would come down and go to the little inquiry room in the hall. So I came down, and they were singing that lovely hymn, Just As I Am, Without One Plea, But That Thy Blood Was Shed For Me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. When I went to go into the inquiry room, it was full. There were so many people wanting to be saved that the little inquiry room was filled. And one of the elders, the late Bob Gunning, he said to me, son, he says, go in there, into the kitchen, and have a seat in there. I was sitting there in the seat, and the tears started to flow, and I was thinking about, I really need to get saved. And then the door opened, and in came my cousin, Billy Halliday, who had come with us that night to the meeting. And Billy came in, and we didn't speak, we just sat there, and he cried, and I cried. And then I heard Ian Paisley saying, I'll talk to these two young fellows first. And he opened the door, and he came in, and he spoke to us. And then we knelt at the little seats in the kitchen, and he opened the Bible, and he showed us God's way of salvation. And we lifted up our heart and our voice, and we cried and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into our heart and life to save us. We were turning from our sin. We wanted to serve him the rest of our days. And, you know, that night I was saved. As the Bible says, we pass from death unto life, and from the power of sin and Satan unto God. And I thank God for the 21st of February, 1965. We went home that night. Billy's parents belonged to Apsley Street Elam Church. My parents, as I said, went to the City Mission and the Methodist Church. But there were tears of joy in both households when they heard that their sons had been saved by the grace of God. But you know, in those days, it wasn't a very popular thing to be a free Presbyterian. Dr. Paisley, as we would say, got an awful lot of stick from all quarters, because of some of the protests that were held and the subjects that were spoken about. And I remember my parents were so glad that I was saved, but they didn't really want me to get mixed up with the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster. In fact, I remember later on when I was in the ministry and a student minister, you know, in those days, sometimes people were going into hospital, and when they were asked what denomination they were nearly saying, I'm Presbyterian. And they were nearly afraid to say Free Presbyterian in case something terrible would happen to them. It wasn't so popular. And my father said to me, well, he says, it's so good that you've got saved, and I know you want to go to the Free Presbyterian Church, but you'll still have to go to your own church on a Sunday morning, and you'll still have to stay in the Boys' Brigade. I was doing the Queen's Badge, and you'll still have to go to this and that and the other thing. And I was only 17. I was at home. I said, that's fine. And Father allowed me to go to the Free Church on the Sunday night. So I looked forward to the Sunday night to take two buses to get across from the Donegal Road to Old Raven Hill to hear God's word. But you know, I wasn't very long saved. And one day we were sitting at our Sunday dinner, and my father looked across the table and he said to me, you really love the Free Presbyterian Church. I said, yes, Dad, I do. And he says, well, I've been thinking about it. He says, I was in the Royal Navy, he says, during the war, and I was fighting for civil and religious and liberty and freedom. And he says, so if you want to go to the free church, you go. And he says, I would rather have you going on with God with Ian Paisley than backsliding here in the Methodist church. That was a good thing, wasn't it? So I was allowed to go. And it wasn't very long going to Old Ravenhill. And I joined Old Ravenhill Church, a free church. Dr. Paisley heard I could play an accordion. He got me roped in, literally roped in, to help me out in the children's work. And I say literally roped in because I had to go over one Friday night. And he says, you come over here at the time, and I think it was 6:45. And I came to the Old Ravenhill Church. And Dr. Paisley was standing there. He had a big bell in one hand, and he had a rope in the other. I thought, what have I done? What have I done? Nothing worth hanging him, sure. And he says, put that round your waist. So he tied the rope around my waist. And I got the accordion on. And I walked up and down the streets. And he held on the other end of the rope. And he rang the bell. And went up and down the wee streets on the Ravenhill Road. And we called the boys and girls out to go to the children's meeting. And we had to march them to the children's meeting. And then, of course, we had to take them home again. And we had to take them home the same way. That's my introduction to getting involved in the children's work. And the Old Ravenhill, and then the young people's work, and then the open air work, and then different times giving a word of testimony, and then starting to preach. In those days, there were a lot of young people in Old Ravenhill. Many of them were going away to the Worldwide Evangelization Crusade Missionary College in Glasgow, MTC. And friends of mine were all going. And you know, there were always great missionary meetings, and those words would always challenge me. And I remember going to Kilcragan and going to the missionary conventions, and when you heard hymns like "The Whole Wide World for Jesus" and "This Shall Our Watchword Be," and all these hymns that challenged me. And I wondered, is God speaking to me? Is God calling me to the mission field? And I was praying about it, seeking God's face. And I went one night to Dunmurry Free Presbyterian Church, where the late Tom Lewis and his wife Doreen were being commissioned and being sent out by Dunmurry Free Church. In those days, they were going to work what we call behind the Iron Curtain. They were going to live in one city. And Tom was going to make journeys in and out behind the Iron Curtain, taking the Bibles, taking the gospel, preaching the word of God. And I remember the Reverend William Beattie, who was Tom's minister in those days in Dunmurry. Mr. Beattie preached from the book of Ezekiel and from Ezekiel chapter 3. And when I went home after that missionary meeting, and I was reading these verses again, you know, it spoke to my heart. For in Ezekiel chapter 3 and in verse 17, God says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman over the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. Very solemn words. And they apply even tonight in the gospel. When I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. And other verses in that chapter, it says that I have not sent thee to a people of a strange speech or a strange language, but even unto the house of Israel. And I felt before God that God was calling me to the ministry here at home. I applied to the presbytery, and I talked to Dr. Paisley. He was my minister, and he said, Fred, son, you're too young. You're far too young. Just you keep on keeping on in the children's work, in the youth work, in the open air work. Keep on coming to the meetings. And he says, if you're still in the same mind a year from now, then we'll talk about it. That was a long year. But the Lord spoke to me through a wee verse of scripture that says, wait on the Lord, I say, and be of good courage. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It was a very long year. I kept in on the work. And then Dr. Paisley was conducting a mission down in the Christian Workers Union Hall in Donegal Pass in Belfast. Many souls were saved at that mission. And he was speaking to me one night. He says, "Are you still in the same mind?" I says, "I am." He says, "Come back and talk to me tomorrow night." So the next night I went and talked to him, told him. He says, "Well, you write to the presbytery." And I applied and it was accepted into the Free Presbyterian Theological Hall, as it was called in those days. And we studied there. I was ordained to the Christian ministry in 1971. And, of course, in those days, if you started at the Theological Hall and you were single, you had to stay single. As a wee man in the work used to say to me, "When I was single, my pockets would jingle. I wish I was single again." But if you started out and you were single, you had to stay single. And there's no such thing as applying to the presbytery to get married. No. So I was single when I started. And then I met Jean. And then I finished my studies in June 1971. We were married in September of 1971. And God has been good. And God has blessed us with three children. We now have 12 grandchildren. We're thankful for those who are saved. Some of the little ones are saved. The older ones are saved. And we're praying for the rest of them that they will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. God is so good. God has blessed us. You know, the psalmist talked about if he was to count up the blessings of God, if he was to count them up, he said they are more than can be reckoned up in order unto thee. God says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." That's the verse that really spoke to me. That's the verse when, as it were, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and convicted me of my sin. And I realized, what would happen if God would stop striving? Maybe there's someone in the meeting, and like me, you know the gospel, and you have heard the gospel, and you know you need to be saved, but you've never come. Then what would happen if God's Spirit would stop striving? You'd be lost. I have a little track here. I got it laminated. It was a wee gospel track. We gave it out literally by the thousand round Belfast just after I was saved. It makes four simple statements. It says, "Life is short. For what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appears for a little time and vanisheth away. Life is short. Death is sure. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Sin the cause, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Life is short, death is sure, sin the cause, Christ the cure. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life." Friend, if you don't know my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, I beg you, I plead with you to come tonight and receive him into your heart, into your life, and become a child of God. Then you can say like Paul, "For to me to live is Christ, and if God should take you out of this scene of time into eternity, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." May God bless his word and testimony to our hearts for his name's sake. Mr. McMahon.